So, oh, hold on a sec. Episode of Trek Fiction. This is a solo episode because the co-host who was not here has not seen the entirety of Avatar, and that is something that I would like to talk about today. And anybody was actually listening to the show, sort of like, you know, keeping up with it, it would actually matter that we missed a show last week. We were supposed to record maybe like over the weekend at some point, but we never did. Which is fine, doesn't really matter, but, you know, I guess I'd like to get in another episode before this weekend, which is, like, in a day or two, so, it's a lot of podcasts, I just made up a word, okay, anyway, so, yeah, this is Trek Fiction, the podcast, and I'm gonna talk about some Avatar, because that was a good movie, maybe. We're watching it in, my video production class, which is kind of not really that great, because, you know, I sit next to this, you know, he's a good guy, but he just doesn't really appreciate the same types of movies that I do, so he's like, ah, this movie's just bad, and, you know, to sort of fathom, really, all the artistic and technical effort that went into this movie, it's just, you know, to sort of discard it like that, you know, just with a throwaway line, like, yeah, you know, this movie's kind of bad. It's just, like, it's really disheartening because Avatar is really a monumental movie, and it's kind of, I don't know, maybe sometimes easy to forget just because, you know, I don't know, doesn't really look it sometimes, whatever, I mean. So I was one of those guys that kept up with Avatar, you know, checked the news and such on the websites, you know, all the time for the 2 years up until its release that I knew about it. And, you know, it kept getting delayed and delayed, and I was like, you know, that's fine. As you know, take as much time as you need to make it perfect, because, you know, it's not something I'm okay, what was I saying? Oh, okay, yeah, I don't remember. Awesome. Alright, well, I guess I'll just jump right in then. So, basically, Avatar is a movie that is directed by James Cameron. It's really good, but it's also not very good. It's really confusing. I remember I saw it I think it was like the opening weekend. It was like that Sunday, saw it at the IMAX, me and my buddy. And, you know, I don't know, I had heard a lot about the movie, obviously going to the websites and all that stuff, and, you know, keeping up with the podcasts and the news blogs, and, you know, I was really interested in seeing this movie, but, you know, my friend didn't really know too much about it, so we watched it, and, you know, 2.5 hours later, I was just sort of the same as I came in, and he was like, yeah, no, that was pretty good, I liked it, and I was like, I didn't know how I felt, and even now, you know, 6 months later, it's very confusing, because, like I said, it's a really fascinating movie. It's a really good, you know, I mean, in terms of special effects, it is the greatest movie ever. There hasn't really been anything to top it. I mean, Transformers was sort of the apex up until this one, and this one just blows it out of the water. I mean, in every way, there was actually that one scene, they were flying. It was like in the midpoint where they were, the main character was learning how to fly the space dragons, and he eventually like, you know, learns how to do it, and then they introduce the big giant orange space dragon, and they're being chased through the forest, and that one scene just sort of, you know, I was sitting in the theater and I was like, yeah, this, everything's possible now in film, you know. It was sort of that moment that James Cameron experienced when he was watching 2001 for the first time in the theater. And I guess Star Wars, he was like, wow, I can do this now. Which is really cool, because I know that's what he was going for. Of course, if you know a little bit about Avatar, you know that he had to, like, sort of... He wrote the script a while ago. Back in the day when he was writing, like, 5 scripts every hour, he actually wrote a draft for... Or it might have been the final draft for First Blood Part 2. He didn't get credit for it, though. He also wrote Aliens, Spider-Man draft, and probably this one. But he had to shelve this one, among others, of course, for a while, because the technology simply wasn't there, which is something that George Lucas also encountered. He was like, you know, I'm going to hold off doing the prequel series until you guys show me something that, you know, says I can do this. And, of course, that thing was like, you know, Jurassic Park, Terminator 2, all that stuff from the early 90s. But, yeah, I don't mean to compare Avatar to this prequel trilogy, because, man, Star Wars Episode 1 and Episode 2, they're not good. Basically, Avatar is, you know, this, it's a template story, you know, it fits, I mean, a lot of people, you know, joking around, they're like, oh, it's Dancing with Wolves in space, like, it sort of became not even a joke, like, that's sort of the log line, and that's really what it is. I mean, this guy, he goes to the planet, and he, you know, intermingles with the culture, and he's like, you know what, these people are really great, we should not kill them. And then he fights back against the evil army of humans, evil humans, and he wins the day. And so, you know, going in, you can sort of predict everything that's going to happen, of course. And I mean, purely in terms of story, and even with some of the characters, like, oh, this guy is, you know, the kind of being a douchebag, but he's gonna turn around and then he's gonna sacrifice himself. And wait a minute, was I supposed to care about that guy? Because I didn't, and he was kind of an idiot. So anyway, the movie starts off, and if you watch it in the IMAX, which I guess, I don't know, I'm sure they'll put it back in there for like a while. You know, it's really disorienting the first time you see it, because your eyes gotta get adjusted. And that scene in the ship with a different, you know, it's very like a deep shot, it's really pain in the eyes, but you know, it eventually gets better, and it's really it's a fantastic looking movie. I mean, this is like, I mean, every detail and every frame is just, it's overwhelming almost. And I don't know, I think it really paid off, all that effort and all the art that went into it, even though I don't maybe agree with, you know, some of the artistic choices, like the Na'vi, they look kind of dumb. I don't know, the Hammerhead rhinos, those are kind of cool, I guess. The stuff that really stood out to me was the military hardware, because, you know, I got a total for science fiction military. But of course, that's a huge problem I have with this movie, is that the way the military was sort of portrayed, obviously they were the enemy in this movie, which is, you know, that's fine, whatever, this, you know, the story calls for that sort of thing. But they showed this one trailer, it was a TV spot, I think, I don't know, it was during some major sporting event that I had to watch, because, you know, sometimes you're just obligated to watch those. And so they showed a TV spot for Avatar, and it was showing everything from the military perspective, and you had that colonel guy, Colonel Quaritch, sort of, he had this, like, big monologue, and he was like, everything out there is trying to kill you. And, you know, they had the guys and the robots who, you know, rolling out into the jungle, and they were like, there's movement out there, and, you know, all the stuff that's sort of like, oh, man, this is gonna be, like, the best James Cameron movie ever. You know, this is gonna be the one, this is gonna be like taking Aliens to the next level. You know, there's going to be marines, space marines, and they're going to be fighting some space dragons, and it's going to be awesome, it's gonna be like nothing we've ever seen. And that really doesn't even sum up like the ending, like the climax. And I don't know why, because I knew the whole time that that's not what the movie was about, and but I just bought into that one trailer because it was so good. In a climax with the colonel guy sort of jumping out of the ship inside a robot suit and the ship crashing behind him, and I was like, man, I have not seen science fiction that is sort of that fantastic on screen, on the big screen like that, in that sort of capacity. I mean, I was really excited after that one trailer. And yeah, I mean, I guess I was a little disappointed because it wasn't that. It was sort of, I don't know. I guess they spent a lot of time on the alien culture more than I would have liked. Not because, you know, that wasn't like integral to the story. It was just, I don't know, it was kind of cheesy. I don't know. Like, maybe I feel that the story just doesn't really hold up over the years. I mean, it is obviously timeless, so I don't know what that comes from, but I don't know. The Na'vi, they were just kind of dumb. I think I already said that, but yeah. So, whatever. Oh, yeah, another issue I'd like to bring up is this character played by Giovanni Ribisi, I think his name is. I think the character's name was Parker, right? Like Carter Burke from Aliens. And so, obviously, you know, going in, you're like, oh, you know, Giovanni Ribisi is this character, or this, you know, actor who always plays guys who are like Carter Burke from Aliens. So, you know, he's going to be that character, you know, and he's going to be, you know, the two-faced company guy who's only really out to screw with you. Over a goddamn percentage, perhaps. But in this movie, it was really weird because, you know, sometimes you thought, oh, this guy's totally immoral. And then other times you were like, well, maybe he's not. You know, you could sort of see that, like, I don't know, that glimmer in his eye that was like, you know, maybe this is wrong. And I mean, obviously, it is wrong to just, you know, wholesale kill intelligent species like that. I mean, nobody really wanted to, not even the colonel. He was like, I'll try to do this as humane as possible. But the other guy, like, he just kept flip-flopping. Like, one second he was like, yeah, whatever, I'll push the control stick forward and we're gonna run him over. And then another time he was like, I don't know, it was weird. Like, he couldn't, like, for some reason, the writer of Avatar just couldn't go one way or the other. He had to make it sort of morally ambiguous for this one character, which would have been fine, but at the end, there's no resolution. Like, the Na'vi are sort of marching the humans off to, back to Earth, because spoilers, they lose, the humans lose, the good guys win, because we're not the good guys. And Giovanni Ribisi just sort of looks at the main character. I don't really know what he was trying to say with his face, but he just leaves. And he was like, oh, there goes that character. He was really only serving the plot. He wasn't, you know, standing on his own like Carter Burke. Because, I mean, yeah, Carter Burke was obviously sort of serving the story as well, but, you know, at least he was interesting. You know, and he also sort of represented the company, sort of like Ash in the first Alien movie, and the Wayland robot in the third, played by Lance Henriksen. So, I don't know. That was one issue I had. And I guess, I don't know, like, going back to that whole military thing, like, there hasn't been a whole lot of military science fiction in film. I mean, you think that, and you think maybe Aliens and Starship Troopers. And Starship Troopers is, you know, a famously bad example of that because they just, I mean, it's like a parody of the military. Which, I mean, I don't know, I guess is okay, but I don't know. Aliens was just, it was not. I mean, I think some author put it really well, but he's basically saying that, you know, yeah, I mean, James Cameron just has a lot of respect for the Marines, and that really shone through in the portrayal. In Aliens, in an Avatar, of course, he even has to have that qualifying statement in the beginning that the guys in the Na'vi are fighting aren't Marines, they're sort of just, you know, guns for hire. Pretty expensive guns for hire, that is, but whatever, it's the future. So, yeah, so Avatar came out, maybe, was it like December 18th? And up until that time, you know, people were really skeptical as to whether this, you know, much hyped movie was going to live up to its crazy expectations. And of course, you know, ask anybody, they'll give you a different answer. But, you know, a lot of people were really sort of hating on this movie. Like, I remember when the first trailer came out, and yeah, it was kind of underwhelming rather. You know, I don't think there was any dialogue. You know, the shots weren't really that over the top, crazy, cool, you know, stuff that they decide to show later. And but I was listening to this one podcast where they were just totally hating on him, and one guy even had the nerve to say, you know, he should just stick to documentaries, referring, of course, to James Cameron and his Aliens of the Deep and Ghosts of the Abyss, which I think were both in 3D. Aliens of the Deep was actually pretty good, but I mean, wow, like, you just have no hope for this guy now. I mean, you read every single movie that he's ever made, sans, I don't know, Piranha 2, The Spawning, and, you know, pretty solid filmography. I mean, I know there's only, like, 5 movies there, but, like, you know, fan favorites, right? I mean, that's pretty much what they're considered. I mean, Terminator 2 is one of my favorite movies of all time. We covered that in the first episode. I don't know if I said that outright, but I meant to. And James Cameron, I mean, he's pretty dependable, you know. He's going to make your money back, and he's going to make something that's going to please the crowds. And maybe he didn't succeed all the way with Avatar, but I mean, the hate was really unwarranted. I remember I was talking to some guy in video production, actually, this semester. It was like a couple of months ago. And we were basically agreeing, like, you know, places like IMDb and anywhere that had Avatar news or message boards, like, people are just like, you know, yeah, this movie sucks. Because I think it's just, I don't know, people think they sort of need to hate on things that are sort of, like, considered popular, because that's different, I don't know, that's cool. But as long as it's good, I mean, there's no need. And I remember after I saw the movie Dune from 1984, I went on the message board because somebody was going to be like, this is the worst movie ever made, and I was going to be like, second. But some guy was like, Avatar is the same movie. And of course, you know, everybody who's going to click on that link is going to agree. And they were all like, yeah, Avatar is the same movie, what a ripoff. It's a ripoff of Fern Gully, first of all, and Call Me Joe, so it's not even, like, original, therefore it's not good, and also it's similar to Dune, which is a far superior movie. And, I don't know, for some reason, I wrote down my thoughts, which is like, yeah, that's a smart move. But I was basically like, you know what, you know, people like to hate on this movie just because it's popular, and then some guy had the nerve to sort of respond, but he did it in that way that's, like, really condescending, and he took quotes from my paragraph, my brick of text, and he sort of pasted it into his argument and sort of, like, went line by line, dissecting everything I said and just refuting everything. And he was like, you know, you say people hate on things that are popular. Well, that doesn't really make sense, because if people hated things that are popular, they wouldn't be popular now, would they? And I was like, you know, you don't even make an attempt to try to understand what I'm trying to say here, so you're just a douchebag. And we went back and forth for some reason, which was, you know, stupid thing number two that I did here, you know, actually respond. But, yeah, that guy, he sort of embodied the spirit of the anti-Avatar movement that I experienced and really did not welcome. Because even though I myself did not enjoy Avatar as much as I thought it was going to be the best movie of the year. And personally, I think that accolade goes to Star Trek, which was a fantastic movie, or District 9, which is equally fantastic. I feel like I have this sort of bizarre personal investment just because I kept, you know, I mean, ever since it was called Project 880, I was like, you know, this movie's going to be awesome. And then, you know, Battle Angel is going to come right after it, and that's going to be awesome. But since Avatar made so much money, and they got so much of that art and that stuff, you know, engineered into the technology, I think they're just going to make Avatar 2, which is fine, I guess. But, you know, I think I'd rather see James Cameron go the more cyberpunk route, a la the Terminator, with Battle Angel, which has robots. I mean, robots in science fiction film, they never get old. Unless they're in Dune, which, no, they weren't. Maybe that's why Dune sucked. Oh, no. Dune sucked because it was the worst movie of all time. That's why. Oh, man. Andy actually saw Dune recently, so I guess we're going to talk about that at some point. God, that's such a terrible movie. Like, I don't understand why anybody likes it at all. Like, it made me want to throw up. It was so bad. And it sucks because you could tell, it was one of those productions that you could tell a lot of people put a lot of time and effort into. It's kind of like Avatar. But the direction and the writing, it was all just so bad. And it had Patrick Stewart in it, and he was also bad, which is just like insult to injury. But whatever. That's Dune, and this is Avatar. And Avatar, if you haven't seen it, you should definitely go out of your way to do that. But, you know, it's, I guess, just don't expect the second coming like I was. Because it's a really good movie, and you just sort of leave it at that. Like, there's a lot of stupid stuff that I hate in it, But there's also a lot of really cool stuff. And, you know, the stupid stuff that I hate, for example, would be like when they're trying to resurrect Sigourney Weaver. They do this bizarre supernatural ritual, and they, like, sort of sit on the ground and, like, wave back and forth, and I was just sitting there like, what the hell am I watching? Right, and then another scene that sort of didn't really jive with me was when the Marines and the robots were, you know, going through the jungle about to go on the offensive against the Native Americans riding space horses, which is pretty weird. You know, they're in the battle, I guess. This actually happens when they're fighting. And, you know, the evil Marines are winning, the Na'vi are being pushed back, and, you know, there's like a bit of silence, and all of a sudden the hammerhead shark rhinoceros monsters come out of the forest, and there's really cheesy music plays that's like, burr, 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 like, you know, it's victory, right? And it's just, oh man, it was so, yeah, that one moment really was so corny. And I brought it up after we watched the movie for the first time. And I was like, man, remember that moment with the rhinos? And he was like, I kind of like that. And that's another thing, actually. The music in this movie, really not that good. The soundtrack is just kind of lacking. I mean, when it sounds like Aliens, when it does the, like, dun-dun, 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 that sort of thing, it's good. But there's this one, like, I don't know what you would call it, like a riff, maybe? Or is that, does that only pertain to guitar? Anyway, there's this one thing that kind of goes, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, that sort of thing. It's just awful. Like, it just sounds bad, and you can totally, like, it really stands out, and whenever you hear that, it's just like, oh, it's that again. Great. Yeah, it was weird. But, I don't know. And also, what's the deal with that, like, totally out-of-place cyberpunk aesthetic? Like, all the Na'vi on the planet sort of link up a la Ghost in the Shell with their, like, horses and dragons by, like, taking their hair and putting it in the hair of the animals. And then the animals can read their thoughts, and they're tame. It's really weird. Quite bizarre. I mean, I don't know. I guess I could sort of argue why stuff that sort of takes place in the Na'vi culture doesn't make sense. But, I mean, in terms of, like, an entire alien culture, it's pretty fleshed out. I mean, I don't necessarily think that all of it's, you know, cool or whatever, but it's pretty, you know, it's pretty fleshed out. You compare that with something like, I don't know, the Chronicles of Riddick. And they have the Necromongers and the Necromonger culture, and none of it makes sense, and none of it's logical. I don't know. Then you look back at Avatar, and you're like, well, that's okay. So I guess another thing to note about this movie, Sigourney Weaver is in it. And she said that she was trying to... She plays kind of this, you know, she's kind of mean, she's kind of a jerk at the beginning, the scientist character. And she said she was trying to channel the director. Obviously, Sigourney Weaver and James Cameron had a pretty lengthy working relationship. They were together. Actually, no, wait, no, they only did Aliens together, right? Because, yeah, they only did Aliens together, but whatever. Apparently, James Cameron just made a strong enough impression on her because, I mean, you know, he's James Cameron. I mean, you know, talented and visionary as he is, I heard that he's kind of a jerk, which is funny. Whatever. So, I guess I'll just leave it at that because, I don't know, don't really know what else to say. I'm sure I'll, you know, think of something later and be kind of mad. Whatever. I still just don't know how I feel about this movie. Like, it's good, but it's also bad, but I also can't say it's bad because it's, you know, Avatar and it's a monument, and if you don't think so, then... Frankly, I think you're just kind of being a troll or whatever. Is that the right term? I don't care. Because, I mean, like, I understand if you don't like the movie, but I don't understand when you sort of don't recognize or appreciate its place in film history, which is, you know, the biggest special effects movie thus far. I mean, obviously, it will be toppled at some point, but it is really important. And I think it's important for people to sort of recognize that because, you know, not only is it big, it made a lot of money, and it got a lot of accolades, and it almost won Best Picture. It's, you know, it's a science fiction movie, so that never happens, and that's also important. And yeah, that's another thing about the Academy Awards. What the heck? I mean, The Hurt Locker over Avatar? I mean, come on. Like, God, that movie was so... okay. Like, it wasn't, I don't know, it was just, like, if you didn't tell me that this movie was nominated for Best Picture, I would have just thought it was another war movie. Another crappy war movie. Which is a surprisingly bad genre, I've found. As odd as that may be. Just, I don't know. Whatever. Okay, so I guess that's it. If there's any, if ever a circumstance like this comes up again where I want to record something, but, you know, the co-host is maybe not around or something, I guess I'll talk about video games because he's one of those guys who doesn't play video games. And by one of those guys, I mean the one guy who doesn't play video games. So, pretty exciting. The Deus Ex 3 trailer came out, and it looks pretty cool. I don't know. They got that whole, like, Ghost in the Shell aesthetic going on, which is very cool. And, I mean, I don't know. Video games these days just don't really do the cyberpunk thing. At least not anymore. And, I don't know. If, you know, the guy who's make, or the people involved, you know, they did some interviews, and they said basically they were gonna sort of have this almost, like, political social commentary on what it would be like if you had nano augmentation or whatever they called it. Like, basically, if you were cyberized or if you were not cyberized because you couldn't afford it, and there would sort of be the split in society. And I was like, no, that's kind of interesting. You know, Ghost in the Shell explores the sort of philosophical, you know, very human spirit-esque ramifications of the whole technological invasion, man-machine interface type deal, where, you know, dehumanization is a very important thing in Mamoru Oshii's movies. But this one, you know, maybe they don't want to go for that. Maybe they just want to do, you know, political, social commentary. Which, I mean, it's a video game, so I guess that's welcome, as long as you don't take away from the gameplay, which is really what's important. So yeah, that's it. I guess, yeah, anyway, we're gonna record soon next time. I don't know what we're gonna talk about. Usually I have these things planned out, but this time I just don't know. I found out that he's seen, like, a total of one science fiction movie that I would even have an interest in talking about, and I've seen a total of one science fiction movie that he would be interested in talking about. Probably the same movie, it's just weird. He's more of a psychological thriller type fan. I mean, he likes science fiction, but I don't know. I guess he likes film more in general, and I sort of just like film as a medium or an expression of science fiction. That sort of thing. And, yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking maybe at some point I should get him to see Once Upon a Time in the West, and we could talk about that. But that's really dangerous because, you know, podcasts, they never really last unless you're a specialization. So unless you're just going to talk about science fiction, calling yourself a science fiction podcast, which is ostensibly what this is, I mean, direct fiction, right, is supposed to be like speculative fiction, spec fiction, which I'm not even sure is the right slang. People even use that colloquialism, if that's even a real thing, but whatever, I don't care. That was the joke, so. It's funny. I mean, so yeah, I mean, if we start talking about westerns and stuff like that, I mean, you know, people just turn off the iPod because that's not what they downloaded this podcast for, if they did at all. That's one concern, I guess, but Once Upon a Time in the West is just such a fantastic movie. Well, that's it. So, if you have any comments or questions or things that we'd like to read on the air, maybe that would happen in 3 or 4 years, you can email us at drekfiction@gmail.com. And I guess that'll do it. I'll see you later.